Winning or whining? Can you say that with me? Winning or whining. If you're visiting, this is how we do church here. We do it on the big screen, and I get you to help me and talk with me, and it seems that you'll get a little more if you participate. Amen? So winning or whining? Right off the get-go, let's look at this little thoughts here on attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. Talking about attitude. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we'll embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have. And that's our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our what? Attitude. Amen? That's what we're talking about today. Winning or whining. It's going to be kind of message. It's going to be just right out there. Okay? So we're ready to roll. We're going to talk about attitude. And we're here today to change. Amen? We're here to worship the Lord, but my goodness, I think God wants to work on us. Amen? He wants to change us. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This verse is in my office. It's in a little frame. If you ever come in there, you'll see it. It sits back on the shelf. It's discolored because it's been there a long time. Because years ago, my wife gave me this verse knowing I had a bad attitude. I know, you can't believe it, can you, brother? So she gave me this verse. Read it with me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, say it with me. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, say it with me. Think on these things. Amen? Attitude. Paul wrote this, by the way, when he was in prison. And this ain't what we're preaching today. It's just good stuff to look at off the get-go. He goes on to say, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, say it with me, therewith to be what? Content. I know how both to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Say that last part, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Attitude today. That's what we're talking about. What is attitude? Here's what it is. It's an internal position or feeling with regard to something else. It's something you have on the inside of you that causes you to feel a certain way about something on the outside of you. Does that make sense to you? We all have it. We all got it. All of us can be changed. It's something inside of you, but it's going to take some work. Attitude is such an unbelievable thing, it takes a ton of words to describe it. It's not just one word. Look at it. Disposition, feeling, mood, opinion, sentiment, temper, tone. Can you tell sometimes I got in trouble for my tone? Perspective, frame of mind, outlook, view, or morale, attitude. Okay? That's what we're talking about today. Pilots use the word attitude. Now, they also use the word altitude, but they use the word attitude. Pilots do. To describe their horizontal relationship with the runway during landing. Okay? If the plane's attitude is not properly aligned, it will make contact with the ground in the wrong angle and they'll crash. And that's what attitude do to you too. Amen? Buddy, buddy, buddy. How many have ever landed wrong? Can I see it? Say, come on. Yeah. Attitude. That's what we're talking about today. Your inward disposition or attitude towards people, circumstances, or situation determines your final outcome. I'm not trying to just give you some feel-good pep talk this morning, but that's the truth. What's on the inside of you and your attitude is going to determine your final outcome. It's going to happen. Are you going to land smooth or are you going to crash? Are you a winner or are you a whiner? Are you positive or are you negative? Okay? That's what we're talking about. 24 hours, that's all I have, and I sleep 8 of them away. 6 to 8 of them, they're gone, man. Gone. Then I'm going to eat some. I'm always got a good attitude when I'm doing that. So I only got this much left. Don't get blown away with the bigness of life. Come on down and just break it down to today, because that's all you have. Do this with me. God gave you that, remember? That's from Him. That's how you know there is a God, because you do that. Now, if you never do that on your own, you'll have figured out something, but you can't. You need that to live. Amen? Okay? So this day, live in this day with a good attitude. So what kind of attitude do you want to have? Not what do you have, what do you want to have? That's what we're talking about today. And we're moving. Here's just some thoughts by John Maxwell, who was a pastor for a while, but he addresses the largest corporations in America. They'll bring their leadership teams, and he'll set them down. They'll pay him bucks out the gazoo to come down and talk to his team about leadership and about attitude. Here's what he says. Several thoughts. I'm just going to hone in on one. It's the advanced man, or the advanced man of our true selves. Can you say that with me? Attitude. It's the advanced man of our true selves. You know what that means? Here's plain English. I'm trying. I've got a buddy. He's a PR guy, public relations. He's been in these services. He used to work for President Bush the First on his public relations team. His job, he was part of the advance team. Whenever President Bush would go speak, no matter where it was, wherever he went, he would always be out in what? Front of him. Sometimes days in advance, making sure the event's going to take place, stage is right, everything's perfect, because he was the advance man, okay, for the president. And that's what our attitude is. I want you to get the picture. Our attitude is the advance man of our true selves, okay? Your attitude is way out in front of whatever you're saying, okay? So let me try to make a little example. If we went out and you had a flat tire out front, by what's on the inside of you and how you respond, because of the makeup of who you are and what you're accepting in your life, you're either going to blow up, or you're going to deal with it out there, and you're going to make it through. You're going to cuss, or you're going to kick it, or you're going to just deal with it and go, guess I got a nail like most people in America get occasionally. Or you're going to pop a cork. Do you see what I'm saying? Advance, man. Your attitude is out in front. Okay? You can try to change the way you talk, but if you don't change what's inside of you, forget it, because it's out there. Does that make any sense to anybody in the building? Okay, I got it anyway. Here we go. Its roots are inward, attitude, but its fruits are outward. It's our best friend or our worst enemy. It's more honest and more consistent than our words. It's our outlook based on past experiences. It draws people to us, or it repels people from us. Just a news flash. I do not hang around people with bad attitudes. I don't. So if you're like, can you bet lunch with me and won't spend time with me? No. No. Why should I get myself down? Amen? Say. Well, that's not very Christian. Well, fine, it ain't. Okay? But that's the way I am. I've had people say, they left or had one couple leave our church one time. Say, well, you know, Pastor Clark, we left. Why? Because you know he don't like bad attitudes. He don't like nothing negative. Amen. They got it. Amen? Right. I got enough problems dealing with Gary. I'm the biggest mess in the room. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't do it. Don't want to do it. It repels me. Attitude is never content until it's expressed. I get my attitude out there. How many parents have ever told your kids, hey, don't give me that attitude? Say, anybody ever said that? I didn't know attitude could talk. It don't, baby, but we can see it all over you. Give me that attitude. My wife picks up on my attitude in tone. I don't even know what tone I got. I'm like, what'd I do? It was your tone. What? Yeah, come on. Don't be clapping. It's the librarian of our past, it's the speaker of our present, and it's the prophet of the future. Attitude. That's what we're talking about today. The difference between winners and whiners is the attitude they have and the way they respond to their problems. Say that with me. The difference between winners and whiners is the attitude they have and the way they respond to their problems. Here's a winner. Look at a winner. Winners see problems as challenges and opportunities that's going to take me to the next level. Amen? Feel this sound coming on. You know, these bars ain't going home in long. Amen? It's an opportunity for God to show up and do something big, baby. When I got a problem, that's a winning attitude. Here's a whiner's attitude. They see problems as threats, which are going to undermine my potential to be, to have, and to do more. Okay? Last time I checked, guys, listen. Problems are going to happen as long as you're on planet Earth. The Bible says we're going to surely suffer persecution. The book of Job says a man is born for trouble as sure as the sparks fly which way? Up! Amen? So that's the bottom line. You're going to have problems. How are you going to deal with them? You going to win or you going to whine your way through them? The Bible says this gives us all kind of help. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. But watch this attitude. Look at it. Whom resist what? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. If you only knew what I'm going through. Yeah, and other people have gone through it too. Okay? And I feel bad that you're going through it. But me feeling bad that you're going through it is not going to get you through it. Amen? If I can get on with you and I can go, yes, you're terrible, I believe you, you're going really bad. Yeah. If I can go, what good is that? I want to have a little sorry for you, but don't feel pitiful for you. I do. A little bit. But then we got to get off that and get on with some progress. Amen? Got to move forward. That's the difference between a winner and a whiner. Keep looking. Satan wants to knock you off course. We're getting somewhere. We're getting to the message. We're just in the preliminary. Amen? He'd love to knock you out, but if he can get you in your attitude, he'll be satisfied. Amen? If he can knock you in your attitude, or just get you off in your attitude, he's going to be satisfied. Satan is a liar. He's called the wicked one, the serpent, the dragon, the devil, the accuser, and the adversary in the scripture. And listen, he didn't get all those names by Mickey Mousing around. He wants to eat your lunch. He wants to knock you out with doubt. He wants to puff you up with pride. He wants to screw your attitude up. Amen? He wants to derail your life. He wants to break your spirit. And this is really what he loves to do. He wants you to be messed up on the inside. Amen? How many have met some messed up people on the inside? Come on. Now let's do this. How many of us have been messed up on the inside a little bit? That's what Satan wants. He wants to get you screwed up, messed up on the inside. And I'm talking about that attitude. All right? So let's keep looking. Winning or whining? What's it going to be? Decision time. Now we want to go to our Bible time this morning. We're going to go to the Word of God. And I want to introduce you to a winner. Amen? A winner. I'm going to show you how he did it. And I think you can do it. And you need to start today. Are y'all cool so far? Come on. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. But I'm going to have every scripture on the screen right in front of you. Let's look at it. Can you say this with me right here? Say these words. Broken walls. Say it with me again. Broken walls. Just so we get it in our mind one more time. Broken walls. I'll give you a little story, a little background. The city of Jerusalem was taken captive, decimated by the Babylonians. Okay, and you've heard of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, people like that. I mean, the walls torn down, utterly destroyed. Okay? And they took the people captive, took them back to their country and other countries. And they just dispersed and spread it all over. It was a mess. Horrible. Well, then somebody after years and years and years came along and defeated the Babylonians. The Persians. Okay? Defeated the Babylonians. The Persians, listen to him, it's important. The Persians allowed the Jews, they found favor with the Persians, believe it or not, and they allowed the Jews to go back to their homeland to rebuild and to go back. Okay? Well, they did. But that wasn't the end of the story. They went back, many of them went back, and they started building, but there were enemies all around. They'd build a little bit, they'd get sniped, killed, murdered, walls torn down again. It happened for almost 100 years. Can you imagine that? And so people, the Jewish people are dispersed everywhere. Not every one of them goes home. Some of them go back home, a remnant. And this is where we pick up the story. Now listen, it's really important if you want to get something today. And it's a big story. It's hard for me to do this in a little bit of time, but if we'll hang in here, we can get her done. Nehemiah chapter 1. With that background, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu in the 20th year, he says, he's a Jew, he's actually working for the king. He says, I was in Shushan, the palace. I'm at work. I got my job there. I'm actually got a pretty high position, he does. He's the king's cupbearer. He says that Hanani, one of my brethren, one of the Jews, came, he and certain men from Judah, from that area of Jerusalem, and I asked them, and boy, he wanted to find out how things were back at home. He cared. He said, how are things going, boys, concerning the Jews which had escaped, which were left of the captivity? And how's Jerusalem? By the way, Jerusalem is the only city that's the city of God. The city of God. Here's a man who loved God. He wants to know, how's the city of God? Well, it's torn down. Look at it. They responded to him. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and in reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates thereof, they're burned with fire. That's about as bad a report as you can get. Amen? Say. So what happened to him? Look what Nehemiah did. It came to pass when I heard these words, I sat out and I wept and I cried. I mourned certain days. I fasted, I prayed before the God of heaven. Wow. That's the makings of a pretty bad attitude could happen right here, don't you think? Say. It's hard to be a winner here, ain't it? What do? Do you build walls or do you break down walls? Say. Do you draw people to you to repel people from you? Okay? This guy was a wall builder. Don't you see what he did? Oh, he was hurting, all right. He was hurting. But then he went to praying. Now look at it. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee. A lot of scriptures, you ought to read the whole book. It's not that long. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee. Now let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. 24 hours, that's all I got. Help me right now, Lord. And grant him mercy in the sight of this man, the king, for I was the king's cupbearer. Okay? What did Nehemiah do? He listened. He wept. He prayed. And then he got up off his tail. Are y'all hearing me say? He got up. And he said, Lord, help me this day. And here's what he did. Look. Chapter 2, verse 5. He went to the king. He said, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Y'all catching on to something? Say. How long had this been happening, for trying to get it rebuilt? For how many years? About 100 years. Say that with me. 100 years. Would you grant me permission that I may go and build it? Boy, he didn't stop there with his request. Look at verse 8. He said, would you give me a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter to. Say this last part with me. And the king, help me now, granted me, according to the good hand of who? My God upon me. I tell you what, we can just see it, and I can see it in my life and your life when the hand of God's on you and when it ain't. I never see the hand of God on somebody that's whining. Oh, you've got a great God. When we whine, it doesn't look that way, does it? Say. I'm not talking about something artificial, though. Some of this show you put on. I'm talking about something real. This man was the real deal. Okay? This was a real challenge. Only a fool would do what he was wanting to do. But he's tired of hearing a bad report. He wanted to do something. So let's look at it. Winner or a whiner? Now, when you make a decision to be a winner, when you make a decision to have a positive attitude for Jesus, don't expect everybody just... There's going to be what? Enemies. The enemy. So let's see how he did. Keep going with the story. And I'm just skipping along, but we're getting it. Come on. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, who's the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, say it with me, they laughed us to scorn. They despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Look at what they did. They laughed, they despised us, they ridiculed us. What does it take to knock you off attitude? What does it take? And then if you get off attitude, you're going to blame it on these boys? Say, that's not going to fly. That ain't going to fix anything. They said the same thing in chapter 4. They didn't lay off. Look at it. It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. He was wroth. He took great indignation. He mocked the Jews. Verse 2. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews do? Will they fortify themselves? Look at this. Will they sacrifice? Do these idiots think they're going to be doing what they used to do years ago? Will they make an end in a day? Say. I mean, they're working so hard, they think they're going to get it done today. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Piling on, man. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite, he was by him. He had to get his 2 cents in. He said, even that which they build, if a fox go up on their wall, he'll break down their stone wall. Ha! Did you get it, say? Your walls are so weak, even a fox can't run on it. But it's still up to you if you're going to be a winner or whiner. Amen? That's why I don't like to hang around people that are going to be whining and negative. Amen? But they're going to be there. You don't have to search them out. They're there. And there's an enemy. Keep looking. So we'll see Nehemiah's response to all this laughing and all this mess they did. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. He answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we, His servants, will arise and build. You have no portion, you have no right, you have no memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. What did he say? God will prosper me. We're His servants, and we're going to build. Okay? And I don't expect you idiots to understand anyway, because you have no part, you have no right, and you have no memorial. You don't even have a clue. Can you feel it? Say, y'all listening? Okay? It's surprising. Now, boy, this is important. Could you say this with me? It's really important to what we're talking about today. It's surprising, come on, at how quickly a winning attitude can do what? Turn things around! You might say, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. All I'm trying to do today is to get you to do it today. Okay? If you just take me up on this, on attitude, I'm going to have a winning attitude. I'll be positive, not negative. I'm not asking you to do it for 15 years. Could you do it just for today? Say. And we'll worry about tomorrow later. Come on. You'd be surprised at what can happen. Look at verse 6. Say that part with me. So built we the... Now how long had this been going on? Somebody tell me. 100 years. My goodness. Look at that. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a what? A mind to work. Okay? So we built the wall. Okay? That's their attitude. Look at it. The people had a what? A mind to work. And I feel like I'm tilling some hard ground right now with some of you. I can't fix your attitude. And I think we got a great church and a wonderful spirit. I'm not picking on anybody today. I'm just saying, unless you have a mind to do the work in your life, don't blame it on me. I'm trying to light a fire under you. All I can do is be kindling. Amen? Try to set something going. But it's up to you. You've got to have the mind to work. Amen? Here we go. Nehemiah 4:9. Now, I want you to see the attitude and what's happening. I'm going to go fast right through here, Raj. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. We set a watch against them day and night because of them. You see, he's being diligent. We continue to pray. We set a watch against the enemy. Buddy, we're this attitude thing and this winning and this building the wall is serious business. Amen? So he set a watch. Another scripture. He said, I looked up and rose up. Look at it. I looked up, I rose up unto the nobles and to the rulers, to the rest of the people. I said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And he said, fight for your family. You listening? How many families have been absolutely ruined and they're in turmoil today, even at Fellowship Church, because somebody in the house has a bad, stinking attitude? You listening? I don't know if y'all know what happens on planet Earth, but it does. A mom or a dad in the house is a pain in the rear end. It's affecting the wife. It's affecting the children. Amen? A child, a teenager, 14, 15, 16, 17, with an attitude, can bring destruction to the family. Are y'all listening? Say. Attitude matters, man. Okay? And so he's trying to encourage them. Fight for your family. They've been quitting. They've been retreating. They tried, but then they're falling back for 100 years. And he lit a fire in them. He said, you stay there, boy. You fight for your family. Keep looking. Look at this. Nehemiah 4:17. In one hand they worked, in the other hand they had a weapon. Watch it. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one of them of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand they held a what? A weapon. See, that's how you have to handle your attitude. Yeah, you got to work, and you got to take care of your family, and you got to do what you're supposed to do, and all those kind of, you got to play, and all that kind of good stuff. But brother, you need a weapon. You need the Word of God. You need the Word of God in you. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be on the offense, not on the defense. You need to be putting in answers into your life. You need to have work on one hand, and you need to have a weapon in the other hand. And you might say, well, how could they build a wall like that? Well, brother, when some were working, there's others out there with the weapons. Amen? And that's how you have to be. You've got to look at this life like that. I want a winning attitude. I want to be positive. I want to do the right thing. I want to be up, not down. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10. Woo, I'm about out of time. For though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down imaginations. Boy, that's where the attitude comes in. We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen? In one hand we work, in the other hand we do what? We fight the good fight of faith. The Christian life has never been called a cakewalk. It's a fight. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. We're never told to take it off. Are y'all listening? Say, well, I used to do this years ago at this church. Well, why'd you quit? Amen? I used to go to church. Well, y'all ever said it? Won't you start again? Amen? Come on. I used to read the Bible every day. Won't you do it now? Don't take it off. Nehemiah 4:20. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither, our God shall fight for us. Can you say that with me? Our God shall fight for us. I believe God will be with every one of you if you're sincere and you really want to change your attitude. I don't believe God's going to go, no, I want him to keep having a bad attitude. He wants you to have a good attitude. You can't be a light for him if out of you you're repelling people. Amen? He wants you to win. For him. Look at this. Nehemiah 4:23. So neither I, he's the leader, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one of us put them off for what? Washing. I tell you, isn't that diligent? Say, can you see them being diligent? Buddy, this attitude, this building the wall, not tearing the wall down, we ain't even going to change our clothes, brother. You think I smell? That's fine. I'll make it another day. Amen. We'll wash them tomorrow. But we're not going to be primping. We ain't going to be putting on our PJs because we're fighting. We're building something. Amen. This kind of victorious attitude can radically change things, but you will face intense opposition from the enemy. You're going to face intense opposition from the enemy. If you decide today, today is the day I turn my life around, and I'm not going to have this attitude anymore. And I think all of us can make improvements. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to get us to do. Are you a winner or a whiner? The enemy, here's three things that Satan wants to do to you. He did it to Nehemiah. And we're going to show you how he overcame. The enemy wants you distracted. Could you say that with me? The enemy wants you distracted. So he's building the wall. He's got the thing pert near built. Look! 6:1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, enemy, Tobiah, enemy, Geshem, enemy, and the rest of our enemies, more of them out there, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left now, though at the time I had not yet set the doors upon the gates. Watch it. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come. Here's the enemy saying, come. Let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of what? Oh, no. But they thought to do me mischief. They thought to do me mischief. They wanted him to meet in a plain of, oh, no. That's where you lose your attitude right there. Oh, no, this happened. Oh, no, that happened. Oh, no. I team that loses a ball game and they keep whining about the ball game they lost will never win a ball game. It's good to learn from it and then get over it. And it's, by the way, the same thing with winning, too. Once you win one, you enjoy it a little bit, and then get on with the next game. Okay? Don't hang out in the plane of, oh, no! He's trying to get them distracted. Have a meeting with the enemy. Satan wants you, say that with me, to lose your focus. I only have 24 hours. Why can't I have a good attitude today? I can have a good attitude today. Why can't I keep my focus for these few hours I got and have a good attitude? Don't y'all honestly think we can probably do that? Yes. Amen? Okay. He wants you to lose your focus. He wanted to get him off the wall. Get him out here in the plane of, oh no! Response to distraction. Here's how he responded. Watch it. Verse 3. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come to you, jerks? Yet they sent unto me four times. They wouldn't get off of him. And I answered them after the same manner. I said it the same way every time. What was his response? Say it with me. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down off this wall. And why should I stop and come to you anyway? It ain't happening. Okay? Say that with me. Responding to distractions. Say it right now. I'm gonna. Come on, one more time. I'm gonna. One more time. I'm gonna. Attitude. I'm going to stay up. That's why I try not to let myself get down in these little holes with people with bad attitudes. I don't know what you're doing, but I got work to do. I got to stay up. Amen? I'm sweating like a pig right now. Let's keep going. So number one, I'm flying. He wants you distracted. Number two, say that with me. The enemy wants you discredited. Now look what they did. Then sent Sanballat, enemy, his servant unto me in like manner, the fifth time, with a what? Say that with me. Open letter in his hand. Wherein was written, here's what he wrote in his letter. It was open letter, by the way. Everybody could read it. It's reported among the heathen, and Gamshu says it, that you, Nehemiah, and the Jews think to rebel against the great king. For which cause you're building this wall, that you may be their king, Nehemiah, according to these words. And you've also appointed prophets to preach of you, Nehemiah. You're a great God, you think, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king what you're doing, you evil Nehemiah man. Come now, therefore, and let us meet in the plain of Ono. He's trying to use rumors and gossip and crap, I call it, to discredit him. Did you hear that say? Difference between an open letter and a sealed letter. Sealed letter, only the person that gets the letter can open the seal and read the letter. Open letter is rumor, gossip. It can be read by everybody, everywhere we travel, all throughout the country. Look what I got, an open letter. I tell you, gossip and rumors will hurt us so bad in the church of God. We shouldn't tolerate it. If somebody's a gossip, you're a whiner and you're a loser if you hang out with them. You hearing me say? You might not like that. I could care less. Don't bother me. Hang out with them. Have fun. You'll go through friends like a roll of toilet paper. Excuse me. You'll find out. You'll keep going through friends because nobody can really stand that. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It'll wreck your faith. Are you listening to me? It'll wreck your faith. That's what Satan wants. He wants to not only lose your focus, he wants to wreck your faith. Let me say something else about being discredited. If you are a gossip, listen to me. You are discredited already. If you're saying things and it's known of you that you're a gossip, you have zero credibility. You need to stop that. You need to say, absolutely not. I am not going to let myself go down that trail. I've never known gossips to have a good attitude. Now, they put on a good face, but usually after a while, I can figure them out. Okay? Listen, that's no place to go. Satan wants to discredit you by gossip towards you, but also gossip towards other people. Here's his response to their discrediting him. I sent unto him saying, there are no such things that you say. But you feign these things out of your own heart. For they all made us afraid. Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it will not be done. That's what they're trying to do, get them scared to death. Here's what he said. Now therefore, say it with me. Oh God, strengthen my hands. How do you respond to Satan's discrediting? Here's what he says. What you say ain't right. Amen? When somebody comes gossip to you, so why don't you just say, what you say ain't right. I guarantee it they won't talk to you much. What you say ain't right. How about this? This comes from your own wicked heart. Try that one. That'll clean the room. And do this. Say, oh God, strengthen my hands. It's sometimes hard not to listen to slop. It's sometimes hard not to gossip. You got to say, oh God, strengthen my hands. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Say that with me. Now the first one is I'm going to stay up. And look at this one. I'm going what? I'm talking about attitude. Now this takes work. I know this ain't easy and it's been a little long. But we're almost to the end. Thank God. Here we go. The enemy wants you what? Dysfunction. He wants me distracted, lose my focus. He wants me discredited. He wants to wreck my faith. The enemy wants me dysfunctional. Look at what's happening here. Watch it. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Methabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay you, Nehemiah. Yet this night will they come to slay you, but you can be locked up in the temple. You know what he was saying? A prophetess, Noadiah, was saying something really evil to him right here. He was warning Nehemiah to go hide inside the Holy of Holies in the temple. The Holy of Holies is forbidden. You don't go in the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwells. You're right, they won't come in there. But he would have been disobeying God. Are you listening? So here's the deal. He was wanting him to trust man instead of trust God. Hiding here. Do wrong, but it'll work out for your good. It usually doesn't. Satan wants you, say that with me, paralyzed with fear. He wants you to be afraid. See, that's why attitude can take us so south when things are happening. It hurts and we're scared. He takes advantage of us right there. Paralyzes us with fear. We can't do anything. Here was his response to dysfunction. I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I ain't going in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent this prophet in the first place, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had done what? Hired the prophet. Therefore he was hired that I should be afraid and do so and what? Sin. That they might have a matter of evil report against me, that they could reproach me. Verse 14, my God, here's Nehemiah, buddy. My God, you think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. His response is this. Say it with me. Would you say that? I will not run and hide. Why in the world won't you work on your attitude? I know you feel like you've been beaten up. I ain't trying to beat you up. I've been trying to be like a coach. But why are you going to run and hide? Why don't you face your attitude today and start working on it? Say this, I will not be afraid. I don't need to be afraid. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And here's our other G thing here. I'm not going to do what? Give up. He said, I'm going to stay up, I'm going to pray up, and I'm not going to give up. And that's the end of the message. We're running out fast right now. Here it goes quick. Here it goes. Satan wants you to lose your focus. Say this with me. Tell him I'm going to pop it up. Satan wants to wreck your faith. Tell him I'm going to. Satan wants you to be paralyzed by fear. Tell him I'm not going to give up. A winning attitude can turn things around quickly. You might say, Pastor, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. Well, this city was broke down for about 100 years, and there were people always working on it, trying to fix it for 100 years. A winning attitude can turn things around real quick in your life. My marriage is over. We can't make it. A winning attitude can turn things around quick. I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, good things can happen. Listen to me. Don't buy that bull. Believe what we're saying today. Listen. Look at the verse. Look. Would you read this with me? I know it's a little strange reading, but read it with me. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. Say that last part with me. In 52, what they'd been trying to do 100 years, a guy with a winning attitude, did in 52 days. Here's my challenge to you, 52 days. If you will leave here today, if you'll leave here today saying, today I will have a better attitude. Today, I'm going to work on this, I'm going to face it. Listen, did you know what? In 52 days, it'll be November the 14th, 2007. You could have the best Thanksgiving you've ever had in your life. instead of whining to God at Thanksgiving, you're going to be grateful. You're going to go, oh man, look at what God did. Look at what God did. It starts today. Are y'all listening? Who in the world wouldn't take this challenge if in 52 days my whole world could be changed? I believe it can. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking. We're talking about an attitude for Jesus, man. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about just being saturated with Him. It can change your life. How different would your life be if you stayed up, prayed up, and didn't give up for 52 days? 24. It's all you have.